This is one of my favorite books of Scripture. John, the beloved of the Lord, was very blessed in the revelations that God gave him, the way he penned Scripture by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He's very plain, very simple. And all that he says, I don't... Brother Richard said it this way, a man that cannot even see through a ladder ought to be able to understand the truth. And that's how John's writings are. They just seem to me to be so easily understood, but we know that's of the Lord. This is taking up in remembrance of before, just to bring to mention, John is writing to God's children because of false doctrines, and we'll move forward from that had entered in. This was said to be written sometime around AD 90. It's after Jerusalem fell. It's toward the end of John's life. And I think of this sometimes as Jacob gathered together his children and blessed them in Genesis 49. That is a little bit of what John is doing, is wanting to give them instruction on God's children and the church and what is the true doctrine and what gives us our peace. And every bit of it thus far and every bit of it from hereafter is nothing, nothing, nothing but Jesus Christ and Him crucified, period. Rather yet, exclamation point. John begins this, "Behold, what manner of love the Father had bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God." Wow. We find, and I'm going to go slow for a minute or two, hopefully. We find the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. My point with that goes back to John 1, about verse 18. No man has seen God at any time, yet the only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, hath declared him unto us. My point in that is the invisible God who cannot be seen, God the Father, is manifested to us in the man, Jesus Christ. Behold, look at what God has written upon our heart when He gave us who were dead in trespassing sins life, when He put the Spirit of Christ within us by His work, by His choice, by His providence, by His purpose. Inside our heart, soul, and being, that we would be able to know God manifested in the flesh, in Christ, the power of God, the love of God to His people. For God was manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ, all God, all man, without sin, born of the Virgin, who walked through this world manifesting to us the power of God in the flesh of Jesus Christ. He bore the body of man that He might be able to suffer our punishment, our sorrow, our pain, and bear the shame of the cross. Hebrews, Paul said, He endured the cross. That's like, oh well, I endured that, that's gone and over. It's like, it wasn't quite, let me say it this way, I don't want to belittle it in any way. It's just that God endured the cross, but He despised the shame. He bore our shame when His body, sinless, became sin for us. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. The 8th Psalm comes to mind. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Verse 4. And the son of man that thou visitest him. What is man? What is man? For the purpose of teaching from the beginning, we went through the first 12 chapters of Genesis. What is man? Created of God, by the hand of God. God breathing into his nostrils the breath of life. And man becoming a living soul. Made good and upright. But man fell. Man transgressed. God cannot look upon sin. Now we're all dead in sin. Through Adam. That does not take away our very own sins and our blame. God cannot look at us. And David asked, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Why does he even think of us? Why does he keep us in mind? We go back to Proverbs, I believe the 8th chapter, speaking of Christ, who was with God from the beginning, before he set up the hills, before he created the heaven and the earth, before of old, when Christ was with him. You don't think the Son of God is eternal before all these things? In the realm of eternity, Christ was with God. And there in Proverbs 8, he plainly tells us, speaking of Christ, the wisdom of God, that his desire was for the men, mankind, not just men, not leaving women out, male and female, created he them, but his desire was for the men that God gave him. The purpose of God. God's people. Created of God. In the purpose of God. Jew and Gentile. Male and female. From every people that's ever been upon the face of the earth. From every tongue that's ever been upon the face of the earth. This alone should be enough to teach us that salvation is of God, God's purpose, God's Spirit. I'm going to get into the gospel in a few moments, but I want to make the point while it's fresh on my mind. The gospel does not save us to heaven. There is a power in the gospel. When God gives you the gospel, it has the power to change your life, and hearing the inspired word of God, which is engrafted in your heart, it has the power to change lives. We'll get into that later. But that's plainly manifested that it's not the hearing of the gospel which gives life, when Revelation 5 teaches us, thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every nation, kindred, tongue, and tribe. Every person, every that is born of God, every person that is God's, from people and nations that do not exist today, who never had the gospel preached to them, go to the darkest regions of the world, in times when the gospel was not proclaimed and God had a people that were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, and they stand with him today in their spirit and soul, if they're dead and gone from this world, they stand in the presence of Jesus Christ living today. That alone should make that plain and manifest. Behold, what manner of love. The Father, where did we get it? From the Father in heaven. Hath bestowed. We didn't earn it. We didn't come by it. We didn't learn it. It's just like coming into the kingdom of God. We didn't earn that. We didn't choose that. We've been translated. God took us and put us there. It's all the work of God. And it's all in Christ. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man that thou visitest him. Why did God think about us? Why were we in his mind? Because God gave his people to his son. His son would die for them, and he did, and that's finished and done. They are guaranteed, they're bought, it's assured in Christ that they have eternal life. Now, they're not in possession of it until they're born of the Spirit of God, but that will be before they leave this world, before they die, because God has promised. He's mindful of his people. They are graven in the palm of his hand. And then let's take the other side of this verse. And the Son of Man, the children of men, that thou visitest him. God visits us daily. Let's go to the beginning of life. Back to John 5. The Son of Man quickeneth whom he will. They hear the voice of the Son of God. This goes back to Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ. The manifestation of God the Father through the Son of God, Jesus Christ. God said, I'll write my law upon their inward parts. You're not going to teach them anymore. You can't teach one to know God. You can't teach one to hear God. It's all the hand of God. It's all the power of God. And it's all in sovereign grace. Christ quickens whom he will. And when he will, glory be to God. I'm thankful for that. Because I certainly have no claim to it of my own accord. And the Son of Man visits him, and God visits us daily in Christ as by in the Holy Spirit, by teaching us of God, by teaching us of Christ, by teaching us of the Holy Spirit in the Godhead, by giving us peace, by giving us comfort, by giving us joy and peace which passeth understanding, facing death and turmoil and enemies in the world. We stand in peace with God that passeth understanding. David said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. God feeds us while we live among enemies here in the world. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. You want to see how weak man is? And has crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the work of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. That is man. That is mankind. We sing that song. How can I, lowly mortal, born an earthling, formed of clay. How can we know God? How can we see God? Behold, what manner of love the Father in Christ hath bestowed upon us. I have loved thee with an everlasting love and with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Love, love, love. God is love. I've heard preachers say before, and I would agree with this line of thought, but it could never be, because the purpose of God is, and he worketh his way in the heavens and earth. What if we didn't know God? What if God had done all this great work and never revealed it to his people? And I say that to make the point of the joy and the peace and the love and the precious, precious treasure of the knowledge of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the second person of the Godhead, the living Word of God, which was made flesh and dwelt among us. Behold, what manner of love the Father. He's our Father. He's the Father in the sense of being the creator of all things in heaven and earth. He is our Father by being our Father. How is that? We are born of God. The Holy Spirit, as in Christ, being born, overpowered, overshadowed Mary, and she conceived the Christ child. That's the same Spirit of God that moved upon the face of the waters. That is the same Spirit of God that moves upon a child of God and gives him life. He is our Father. We are born of the Spirit of Almighty God. We're born of the Spirit of God. We're the bride of Christ. We are married unto him. The groom chose his bride. That was tradition in olden day. The groom would, or the parents would choose the bride. God is our Father. He chose the bride. Christ is the groom who died for His bride and was raised up again, conquering death. We are born of God. Christ is within in us. That foreknowledge, that knowledge, if you please, He is within us. He is our life. Therefore, we are married unto Him as a man and woman come together in matrimony. Christ is within us. The two become one, so to speak. As a man and woman become one flesh, Christ is within us. Therefore, we're married unto Christ. And then again, we're adopted. Ephesians 1, having predestinated us into the adoption of Jesus Christ. What was the purpose? For the good pleasure of His will. Whose will? God's will. That's how we're in the family of God. That's how we're God's children. Birth, marriage, adoption. We're taken from the likeness of Adam and brought into the righteousness of Jesus Christ. That is all in Christ. That is of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, the Godhead. The Father has bestowed this love upon us. John says, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. That we should be called the sons of God. Speaking of Christ, Psalm 2, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. That is the resurrection of the dead. Through Christ, who rose from the dead, we have life. Just said we're born of God. That we should be called the sons of God. The Old Testament, Jacob, my son, I will bring him out of Egypt. My son, said many times, my son Jacob. God made him His. God chose him. Most of the Christian world will accept that fact, but that also pertains to every child of God, that God made us His children. He made us His sons. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. As Israel walked in the world and God blessed them and gave them a kingdom and drove out the inhabitants of the land they would occupy, as God manifested His sovereign power and right and love upon these people whom it pleased Him to love. Oh, Israel was such a righteous nation. Not hardly. Stiff-necked and rebellious. Deuteronomy 7, God hath not chosen thee because of your goodness or because you were mighty in number. God chose you. There wasn't but a few of you, but God chose you because God loved your fathers. Why did God love your fathers? Because of Christ. Who do we come here to worship? Jesus Christ. How do we see God? Jesus Christ. How do we have life? Jesus Christ. That we should be called the sons of God. They were manifested in this world as God's precious children. That was Old Testament. Very briefly, He took away the first, the old covenant, that He may establish the second. In the old covenant, the nation of Israel was manifested as being the elect of God in the law of service. In the New Testament, Ephesians 3, the secret, kept secret from the foundation of the world, was made manifest that God had a people among the Gentiles, back to Revelation 5, by thy blood, out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation. or tribe, whichever it says, I think nation actually. Tongues of people aren't spoken anymore. God had a people among them at that time. They didn't have to hear the gospel. The gospel began in Jerusalem. It went through some of the countries surrounding it. It went to England. It came here. It's now begun in Africa with the true gospel a few years ago. It's in China, and they're greatly persecuted for it by the communist government. You own a Bible there, they will kill you. But God is a people there, and God feeds those people, and God manifests those people, and God cares for those people. But God had people there before they ever had the gospel there, by His Spirit in Christ, in the election of grace. And they're the sons of God, and God calls them His sons. And we live in this world today, and people look at us, and we'll get into that in the latter part of this verse, that are manifested, people that are manifested as being God's children, God's sons. I don't care if you're Old Baptist among the few of us. I don't care if you're from Sovereign Grace. I know some of them. I don't care if you're among the Southern Baptist or the Missionary Baptist or the Methodist or the Catholics. And there's all sorts of other names people put on churches. Anyone that loves God, why do we love God? Because He first loved us. In Christ, we know God. We behold, we see, we know the love the Father bestowed upon us. Christ written upon our heart. Doesn't matter what denomination you're from. If you love God, and I'm getting to point with this, if you strive by God's grace, what did He say in Titus? To purify unto Himself a peculiar people. The word means treasured. Zealous of good works. If you desire to serve God and glorify Christ, if you're zealous of good works, whether you believe this or whether you believe that, whatever doctrine is taught, I wish we all had true doctrine. We're wrong in places. Everybody is. Because we're flesh and we're sinners. The whole church is sinners. But these people who strive to love God and obey God and seek after God in Christ are called the sons of God. They're manifested as the sons of God. Because God is within them. Jesus Christ is within them. The Holy Spirit of God in them teaches them of Christ. The Godhead. And they are called the sons of God. Let me say this. I have a hard time calling myself a son of God. Because I know what goes through my mind and my fleshly nature 24 hours a day. When I come down here and meet with a few of you all, I have joy in my heart, I have a smile on my face. I have to make myself stop smiling to do the duty God gave me to do. It's just good to be with you. And at times like this, I really feel like I might just be a child of God. Now we'll get stronger with this later because John tells us that you might know. But bear with me. I'm trying to make the point that sometimes we feel like we're a son of God. I see you all as my brethren, and without a doubt in my mind, you are manifested as being sons of God. I look at me and my faults and my failures, and many, many times I have doubts of myself. But to those I am about to speak of, we are certainly manifested to most, if not all, of them to be the sons of God. Think about that just a moment. Most, but not all of them. There are people in this world. Let me give you two thoughts if God will keep me to my mind. One, there are people in this world that are born of the Spirit of God that never show evidence of being God's children. They don't come to church. They don't like the gospel. They're all caught up in the world. They're all caught up in self. Or whatever the reason may be, they live in misery in this world. If they are God's children, God hath planted Himself within them. They have enough change in their heart, enough repentance in their heart, and the knowledge of God, and the belief of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that God put there, that God sees that. That's enough to satisfy God in heaven, and whether we see it or not, and they will stand with Christ in heaven in immortal glory. Now, on that same aspect, there are many people in this world that deny God, and that deny that we are sons of God, for they say there is no God. You let one of them get in a fix and see who he calls upon. God help me. Deep down inside, they know. After 9/11, I'm going to tell you, all these people on TV were touting about the Lord. Week before, they didn't want anything to do with it. Remember last week? Every knee shall bow, for every eye shall see Him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world, this means the natural world, this is not the world of God, this is not the elect of God once they've been quickened and given life, regeneration. This is the world left in the own nature of Adam, left in the state of sin that came through Adam and the deception of Satan. The world knoweth us not. You catch that? Knoweth us not. What does that say? Let's look at devils. James said the devils believe and tremble. Okay? You see Legion. As Christ came toward Legion, the spirits of evil, the devils within him, cried out when Christ approached him, "Thou Son of God, art thou come to torment us before the time?" Let's go back to James. The devils believe and tremble. James is making a point. Don't tell me you believe, manifest it in your walk, in your faith. Just a side point to show the text. Devils believe and tremble. They believe God is God. They believe Jesus is the Christ of God. They believe in the Holy Spirit of God. But they do not know Him. Period. They see Him as the God of terror, the God of the lake of fire and eternal punishment, who contains them now, who restrains them now, who controls them as it pleases Him now. And when His Son appears in His glory, shall cast them into the lake of fire. We know Him as our Savior, as the God of gods, the King of kings, the Lord of lords. We know the love of God. We behold it. They do not. It is not given to them. And in that aspect, the world knoweth us not. They don't acknowledge God. You look on, I'm going to mention briefly the political spectrum. You have people that hate Christians because they try to keep out of society things that are wicked and evil. It's our fault. We keep it from happening. They don't know God, at least not yet. They may know Him today. They may know Him tomorrow. Christ, Son of God, quickeneth Son of Man, quickeneth whom He will. But in the unregenerate state, the man knows not God. And they know not us because we are God's children. That's not saying they don't know us as the fact that we're trying to serve our God and love our God. We take blame from them for not being like them and not running an excess of riot with them. They don't understand that because they don't know us. They don't know what's within us. They don't know what's inside of us. That's what we live in this world around. Because it knew him not. The world knew not Christ. Some of God's own people among the Jews, he came into his own, and his own received him not. Many of the Jews, not being of God's people. Oh, I get flack for that. What do you mean? All of Israel is God's people. Then why did Jesus himself, the Son of God, the Son of Man, tell the leaders among the Pharisees, some of them, in John chapter 10, you hear not my voice because ye are not of my sheep, ye are not my people, ye are of your father the devil. And we're going to get to him in a little bit in this text too. It knew him not. But to as many as received him, laid hold on him in an intimate sort of way, after they're born of the Spirit of God, they know him, but these people, the world, know not us because it knew him not. They cannot receive or understand the truth of God. They are spiritually discerned. It is not given to them, and they know it not. John is making that point because he's talking about false doctrine. Let us not forget that. And there are a lot of people that teach things that are false doctrine. True doctrine. Christ and Him crucified! Exclamation point. Every good thing we have is in Him. And so John says, beloved, verse 2, now at this present moment. How does it come? How did it happen? Back to John 5. The hour is coming, and now is, when the dead in trespass and sins shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. That's the revelation of Jesus Christ. That's life in Christ. That's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's hearing the voice of the Son of God. We're given an example in John 11 with Lazarus in the grave already beginning to stink. How dead was he? Let me give you something. Why did Christ lay in the grave 3 days and three nights? Well, he couldn't stay longer than that because he wouldn't see corruption. His body would not begin to decay. But let me give you something to think about. The old Jew, and one of my grandmothers on my daddy's side, believed, just like the old Jews, that your body had to be dead 3 days for your spirit to leave it. Lazarus was dead 4 days. He was proving to the Jews he was dead. He began to stink. Christ lay in the grave 3 days and three nights, proving that he had laid his life down. That life is life that comes from Christ. Now, present day. If you are here, if you fear God in a reverential way, if you love God, if you seek God, give the glory to God because you are now a son of God. You have been born of the Spirit. You've married to Christ. You are adopted into the family of God. That adoption will not be complete until the resurrection of the body. When you adopt a child, the child is not legally yours by law until you take it home. When Christ takes us home to glory and in the body, then the adoption is complete and we're manifested in that day and that time forever and ever and ever as the eternal sons of God. But while we live in this world, now we are the sons of God. Behold, is that not wonderful? Does that not cause us to want to worship
our Savior. Does that not cause us to overjoy in times of grief and death and sorrow as we face today? Does that not cause us to want to worship and magnify Christ in our body and turn away from our sinful flesh to which we fall daily and the thoughts and intents of our wicked, evil hearts? Does it not cause us to want to turn away from those things in love of God, in love of Christ and the Godhead? Because God has revealed it to us. Behold, now, beloved, all love together as God's family. Now are we the sons of God. I cannot understand. Stand in my nature and doubt if I will ever be able to fully comprehend the love of God. While I hated Him in my nature, while I fought against Him in my nature, He loved me. While I stumble and fall, when I should know better now, hopefully being quickened, hopefully being a child of God. But let me ask you this. Let me ask you this. Do you love your children? There is nothing that a child can do that will make a parent hate them. Now, there are evil parents. Don't misunderstand me and don't misinterpret what I'm trying to say. A person that loves, loves their children. I don't care who they are. I don't care what they did. They're loved. They're loved. They're loved. Nature teaches us that. And God loves His people. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. What does that mean? That means we do not yet now see the body. All right, let me back up. To clarify, the word resurrect means to bring the same thing forth again, okay? Rightly divide the word of truth. I believe the Galatians letter says there's no Jew nor Greek, no male nor female, we're all sons of God. I've heard some people say, well, there won't be no women in heaven because we're all going to be men, sons of God. That's not what that text is about. That text is about being brought into the kingdom of God. Jew nor Greek, male nor female, all sons, children of God. God made man, male and female created He them. To resurrect means to bring the same thing forth. I full well believe that if you die a woman, you'll be raised up a woman. It's the same thing forth again. I full well believe if you die a man, you'll be raised up a man. The same thing brought forth again, the same body. Why else would the Lord say you neither marry nor given in marriage? He's not saying they're all going to be men. He's saying in heaven we're going to be as angels. We're going to be servants of God. He never said there wouldn't be a woman in glory, that we wouldn't have women. To resurrect means to bring the same thing forth again. I full well believe that when I get to eternal heaven and my body's raised up, if I make it right there, right now I'm leaning toward I just might. And my beloved wife, who I would give everything in this world for, is there, that we'll be brother and sister and love each other in Christ. Beloved, now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be. We've never seen righteousness. We've never seen sinlessness. We've never seen immortal. We've never seen incorruptible. That's what we're going to be raised as. It doesn't yet appear what we shall be. We'll be known as we are, spotless, sinless sons of God, children of God, male and female. But we know that when He, Christ, shall appear, Lord, behold what manner of love. It is not comprehensible. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him, There's a semicolon, means that is final, that is plain, that is evident, but there's even something following it. We shall be like Him, holy, without sin, sickness, death, mortality, corruption. As Christ was, so shall we be. As Christ is, so shall we be. We shall not be as gods. We shall not be as Christ, for He is exalted above all. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. But we shall be righteous. We shall be made like unto Him. He rules and reigns in heaven and earth. We do not. But we shall be made like Him, holy and righteous, to serve Him and love Him. And then here's the best part. For we shall see Him as He is. My goodness, my goodness. Matthew 25:31, and then shall the Son of Man appear in His glory. You know, He told Thomas, put your finger in the hole in My hand where they drove the nail. Put it in the hole of My feet where they drove the nail. Thrust your hand into My side where they pierced it. He will appear in His glory. I believe He will appear. I believe He'll have the same holes in Him, and I really, really do. But my point is this. When the Son of Man appears in His glory, we shall see Him. The second person of the Godhead, God manifest in the flesh with all the power of God, with all the wisdom of God, with all the love of God. Beams of glory coming from Him. Beams of righteousness. Standing, or yet rather kneeling, or yet rather prostrate on the ground before Him. And His righteousness. In perfect bliss, in perfect peace, in perfect joy. For we shall see Him. I think a lot of times about the first century and all they went through, but brethren, they saw the Lord Jesus Christ. But He had laid His glory aside. We shall see Him as He is. In the fullness of the glory of the Godhead, we shall see Him. Oh, my goodness. We cannot imagine. If we knew that now, we'd bust wide open. If we knew what it was going to be like, we'd be standing in line to die. For we shall see Him as He is. Now let's turn to another verse of Scripture. Kind of change the way the text goes for just a moment. And every man who has beheld the love of God, every man who is now a son of God, every man who will be raised up like Him in righteousness and see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope, this earnest expectation, Romans 8. I think. And every man that had, I'm going to find that. I can't leave that until I know for sure. Romans 7 or Romans 8. Pray for me. My mind goes bad sometimes. Yes, it's Romans 8. Yes. Every man that hath this hope, this earnest expectation within him, why is it there? It comes in from and through Jesus Christ, your Redeemer. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure, as Christ is pure. Titus 2:14, speaking of Christ, I'll back up to 13. Looking for that blessed hope, Christ, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all, every bit of it, iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Every man that hath this hope in himself purifieth himself even as he is pure. God puts that within you. There's a lot of things I don't understand. Most of it I don't. I don't understand, but I know it's of the Lord. Why some people bear great sorrow and temptation in this world, and other of God's children seem not to suffer from it. Some men suffer from a greed. Some men suffer from a lust of power. Some men suffer from temptation of lust of flesh. Some men suffer worse than others. Some men seem to have no temptation from that at all. I don't understand, yet I do not question. For I know that God gives grace in whatever we face. First of all, God has a way to deliver us, and even if we fall, God picks us up. And God has promised to us eternal life. My desire is to turn from the sins of my flesh and serve the Lord, to love His people, and to teach His children. Every man that hath this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure, because God puts that within us to desire to love Him and serve Him. Whosoever committeth, I hope I can get through this. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. All sin is a violation against God and God alone. We may sin against our brother, and that is a sin against our brother, but it's a sin to God. This is not just speaking or primarily speaking about thou shalt not do this, or thou shalt not do that. This is speaking about the law of God, as John says, which you have heard from the beginning. What happened in the beginning? Cain slew his brother. He's going to talk about Cain killing Abel. What were we commanded to do from the very beginning? To love each other. Love is the fulfilling of the law. What did we share here in assembly at the meeting house when the church comes together to worship God? We share a love and a joy in our hearts and peace in God, in that love, for God is love. What is the commandment? Love. What is a sin? When we do not love God, first and foremost, and when we do not love our brethren. Whosoever committeth sin, because the child of God born of the Spirit is going to love his brethren at some point or another, in some way, God plants it there. We may not see it, we may not know it, but God does. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. This is speaking of someone who does not have love because they do not have God. They're left in their natural state of Adam. And ye know, because you beheld the love of God, that he was manifested, Christ manifested, God in the flesh, to bear our sin, to take away our sins. And in him, Christ, is no sin, period. He had no sin in conception because his father was the Holy Spirit and not Joseph. He committed no sin. He omitted nothing that made a sin. He kept the law to a jot and a tittle. He had no sin. His body became sin for us when he was nailed to the cross, but he had no sin of his own. He bore our sin. Whosoever abideth in Him. Now we could talk about walking in the gospel and abiding in Him that way, but this says, whosoever abideth in Him, whosoever has beheld the love of God, whosoever is born of the Spirit of God, whosoever has seen the revelation of Jesus Christ, whosoever has heard the voice of the Son of God and is alive with God in Christ, whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Let me explain that. Whosoever sinneth hath not known Him, neither not seen Him by faith, nor known Him. Let's clarify that very briefly. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. I may have to come back to this some, but let me touch on it enough to understand. He that committeth sin is the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. He that is born of, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. Lord, give me a tongue. A child of God, born of the Spirit of God, has Jesus Christ within him. Yes, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Yes, we have the Holy Spirit, but all things we have is in Christ. Christ is within a child of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He is the seed of God. What was it said to Abraham? In thy seed, not many, but as of one, Jesus Christ. Isaac was a type of Christ, a picture of Christ. The seed of God, Jesus Christ, is within you. The seed of God cannot sin. Jesus Christ cannot sin. Those left in their own state of nature have not the seed of God within them. They walk in sin, they look for sin, they long for sin, they love for sin, riotous, all the things of the flesh. We, the nature of our body, lust after those things, and we fight that, and we fall, and God picks us up. We're not perfect, we're sinners. But the seed of Christ, the seed of God, who cannot sin, which cannot sin, is within us. It sins not. To put it in a very short nutshell for the time being, and I may come back to it, we'll see where it leads. A child of God, born of the Spirit of God, and this doesn't have to be manifested to us. We've got eyes of flesh, but it's all manifested to God. People say, well, that man over there committed adultery. That's a sin to hell. That man over there blasphemed. That's a sin to hell. He was effeminate. That's a sin to hell. That's garbage. A child of God will never see the fire of hell. Children of God are manifested through love. If somebody loves, God is there. They'll never see hell. They'll never taste hell. They'll never go to hell because of Jesus Christ. A child of God walks in life fighting a spiritual warfare, striving to walk with God in love of God first and foremost, and in love of God's people secondly. A child of the devil walks through the world ever looking for some new thing of revolt, rebellion, hatred, sin, lust, power, and violence, and death, and love of self.
I'm going to close because time is up. We may come back to this if the Lord moves me that way. But I want to close with this. Behold, John is telling these people, talking about true doctrine. Don't listen to these things in the winds of doctrine. Don't listen to these things people are coming forth telling you. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Behold it. It's on your heart. It's preached through the gospel. Behold it. And cling to it. And love it. And I will say, rejoice.